Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. I'm joined here by my co-host Alessio Rastani from LeadingTrader.com and one of the finest resources analysts in the City of London, Charlie Long from Beaufort Securities.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you. Well, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again. I'm still enjoying your... Well, you got the detail in your analysis, which I really appreciate, actually.
Well, so. I try. As I said last time, I think I spend an hour the day before just what am I going to talk about? And it helps. It helps me keep up to date with... my space.
It's exactly the same approach, the same rigorous approach that I use as well with my appearances here. But what's on your mind today?
I've been looking at, the gold and interest rates, where the market's going to go, the sort of the macro side of things, and trying to tie that into metals, maybe try and see if that's at all relevant to the future direction of the metals prices. And I guess the basis is an expectation that interest rates are going to stay low. If they do go up a little bit over the next 12 months, there's a likelihood that the US economy is going to struggle over the next few years. They're going to have to come back down from a lower base, so they in the US they could go into negative interest rates. And so it's basically trying to work out what metal's going to do, bearing in mind supply and demand as well, but what metal's going to do in a low interest rate environment and potentially a negative interest rate environment in the US.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious question there, though, is, I mean, we've got zero interest rates practically everywhere. If somebody had told you in 2008 or 9 that in 2016 interest rates were going to be at this level, you'd have thought, gold is going to be, it's got to be at $5,000.
Yeah.
So, what happened?
Well, I mean, the gold market is a very peculiar market, isn't it? It's not driven by supply and demand in the same way as a metal that gets used. So if you're buying gold, if you're a Chinese, a central bank, a Turk who wants to invest in gold, you buy what's available.
Money launderer.
But you don't get to the point where if there's a shortage of gold, you have to find physical gold because you don't actually have to use it. So you don't have that same demand dynamic. And then on the price formation side, you've got a massive paper market in the US, the COMEX, where huge volumes and very high value gold trading happens on a daily basis that no one really appreciates. But with a relatively tiny amount of physical gold actually in the warehouses available to settle those contracts. So price formation is, I'm not saying it's rigged, but it's driven by US and Western financial traders, and therefore it's very difficult to predict where it's going to go.
I think it's totally rigged. But the other point there is that the unforeseen consequence of the low interest rates was actually what a deflationary influence it was, because savers' money, or the money that people used to get on deposit, 3%, 4%, 5% more and more, many could live on. You could live on that. That's not there.
No.
So that was actually, so the zero interest rate policy is not actually...
Well, negative interest rate, if you're talking about.
It's not actually as inflationary, or it may not be inflationary. It might actually be deflationary.
I guess that's not really my point. I think my point is, if you're managing money, or even if you're a private client, man on Main Street, and you've got cash to invest, but there's nowhere to invest it, some of that money is more likely to go into gold if there's a zero interest rate environment, or even, and especially if it's a negative one. So it might be that you're buying physical gold in the form of coins, or it might be that you're a bond investor managing bonds, and you're bearish on bonds, and you put some of that money into gold. So it's just flow of cash is more likely if there's no interest.
There was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal recently stating that the sudden spike or rallying gold we've seen since February seems to be related to the fact that Bank of Japan went into negative interest rates, because the previous negative interest rates introduced by Europe Central Bank, Swiss National Bank, Denmark, you name it, didn't actually produce much of an impact in gold.
Yeah.
And yet suddenly, as soon as Japan goes into negative interest rates,
gold
rallies.
Do
you see a threat to gold potentially, maybe the rally coming to an end, if Japan moves away from its negative interest rate policy? We've seen already some talks some movement by the Japanese banks buying short-term bonds?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first thing I would say is that I haven't seen that or looked at it, but there's various ways of showing correlation between the gold price and something. And sometimes there is a correlation, but it's not causal, and
right. There's
something else that's
the whole correlation
created.
Causation.
Yeah, exactly. And I never trust the media or myself or any talking heads, because you need to find an explanation for something
exactly. Quickly.
And you know, half the time we're probably wrong. But will the Japanese start to increase interest rates? Can they actually return to, and what is a normal interest rate environment? I'm not sure that the demographics and the balance sheet of Japan and the economy of Japan will allow for that anyway. Similarly to the States, I mean, in the States, we've been talking about interest rate rises for several years, and okay, we've had a small move, but really, it's all a case of it's going to happen. Oh no, it's not going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's not. So I'm not sure whether we're going to have interest rate rises, and if we do, then I think they'll probably reverse quite shortly afterwards when global goes into recession.
Let's have a quick look at your slide that you brought in.
Time goes quickly, doesn't it? So this was, I just wanted to talk about supply and demand of metals, because I think the most important thing, apart from Chinese growth and the effect that has on trading of metals in the various futures markets, is actually that supply and demand is the most important thing. And you know, when you get to a situation where with iron ore, as we can see just recently, iron ore has been coming off, but copper's been going up. They've had quite good Chinese data, and I believe that's why the copper price has rallied a little bit, but it's rallied. At the same time, iron ore has been coming off, and I think that's because everyone realizes that there's just too much iron ore and too much steel around. So
copper used to be a good indicator of the health of the economy.
Yes.
Is that still the case? Is copper still a good indicator? It doesn't seem to be.
Who knows over a long period, but in the last few weeks it's been a good, it's reflected the health of the Chinese economy, because the Chinese economy has produced some decent data. But my point is that the iron ore price has been going the other way. So supply and demand, I think people believe copper is pretty much in balance, maybe a very small surplus, depends on who you talk to. But a couple of years out, it's likely that it's going to go into deficit. And people are a bit more bullish about copper than they are about iron ore. And I think that's reflected in that chart.
From your chart, I can see some correlation developing back in April, March. That correlation is decoupled, apparently going now.
It's
an inverse relationship.
So which just shows you can't say, a metal reflects this, because
right.
it might do for 6 months and then it might change.
Right.
And later there's a chart showing gold to 10-year real yields, and that seems to be quite a nice correlation, and it seems to have decoupled recently as well. Anyway, if we move on, so I believe that metal prices fundamentally come down to supply and demand, right. and they're impacted, okay, by what's going on in China, because that's the biggest demander of metals, and they're also impacted by trading, but medium term it's always going to be down to supply and demand. So if we go to the next slide, just having a quick look at, we've talked a bit about easy money, so I'm now talking about gold and how that is going to be impacted by, you know, maybe negative interest rates or interest rates staying as they are now. And then I'm going to try and conclude by saying, well, actually, if gold is money and there's no good currencies out there, people are going to buy some gold. What happens if we get into negative interest rates, gold's doing well, maybe people look at metals as well. It's easier to buy metals nowadays in the form of either paper or exchange-traded funds than it was in the past. And maybe, you know, people start to look at commodities as a form of money, somewhere to put their money where there's negative interest rates elsewhere. A store of value, yeah. So that's the Fed funds target rate. Obviously, they've pretty much got nowhere to go, especially if US goes into recession in the next couple of years. So if we go to the next chart, this shows, and this is what people talk about, the relationship between gold and interest rates. That the clever people out there most often talk about 10-year real yields versus gold. Now, this chart shows a reasonable correlation. You can adjust, I was looking at some PIMCO research from a few years ago, and you can adjust the gold price to be on a log scale, just to show its change, and that relationship between the two looks really, really tight from 2006 till 2014 when they did the research. But actually, in recent months, if you just look on the far right of the chart, you've got the correlations beginning to break down a bit. And so who knows whether going forward that relationship's going to start coming back together. But 10-year real yields, I think they're likely to be low for long. I think the Fed rate is likely to be low for long. And I think that could be good. That should be good for gold as an alternative store of value.
On that note, Charlie Long, resources analyst at Beaufort Securities, thank you very much for coming in
today. Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.